engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the beginning of the book of the prophet Haggai. On the first day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "This people says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Then this word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. "Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but have brought in little. You have eaten, but have not been satisfied. You have drunk, but have not been exhilarated. You clothe yourselves, but have not been warmed. And whoever earned wages earned them for a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the hill country, bring timber and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord takes delight in his people. The Lord takes delight in his people. Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. The Lord takes delight in his people. Let them praise his name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory. The Lord takes delight in his people. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Alleluia. The Lord takes delight in his people. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because some were saying, "John has been raised from the dead." Others were saying, "Elijah has appeared." Still others, "One of the ancient prophets has arisen." But Herod said, "John I beheaded. Who then is this, about whom I hear such things?" And he kept trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There are some today who think that they know better how Jesus preached and taught and expressed himself in laying out the gospel than the people who actually heard him. I don't know how they come to that conclusion. Doesn't seem to make too much sense to me. But for those who did hear Jesus with their own ears, see him preach with their own eyes, they were coming to the conclusion that it was one of the prophets come back from the dead, or Elijah, or John the Baptist. Friends, these were tough characters. You look at Jeremiah or Ezekiel and the prophetic actions that they did, the warnings that Jeremiah gave to the people, taking the flask and smashing it on the ground in front of them and saying, "Thus will the Lord do to his people," and Elijah taking the prophets of Baal all together and challenging them, "Call on your God to send down fire. I'll call on mine to send down fire. Let's see who wins." And then he had them slain after the embarrassing ritual that they went through calling on their false gods and getting no response. These were people who heard Jesus. in the flesh, day after day, preaching and teaching, and they thought he was Elijah. Or they thought he was John the Baptist, saying to the king, it is wrong for you to have your brother's wife. Saying to the king publicly that he was sinning because of a violation of his marriage vows. And they thought Jesus was John the Baptist come back from the dead. Are we really going to say, now 2,000 years later, that we know better what Jesus sounded like, the kind of things he was preaching, we know better? He was all just very nice and kind and non-judgmental and soft and merciful and fuzzy and made everybody feel good. What kind of hallucinatory drugs are these people on? One of the prophets has arisen. Elijah's come back from the dead. John the Baptist is here again. Brothers and sisters, we've got to take account of what these people are saying. The prophets proclaimed the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom of God that breaks into our history, that breaks into our lives, and that in no uncertain terms challenges us to change, challenges us, confronts us with our sins, and not only urges us to change, but gives us the power to change. And that's where mercy is. Mercy is not permission to do evil. Mercy is not softness about sin. Mercy is the saving hand and help of God that actually changes us and purifies us of sin. That's mercy. He actually sets us free from sin. He doesn't just wave his hand, oh, that's okay, don't worry. No, mercy gets in there and it burns away the sin. And that's the mercy because God loves us. He doesn't want us to be destroyed by sin. He raises us up. He sets us free. He changes us. And he changes us by his wounds. And so we come to the saint of today. He didn't die that long ago, 1968. And the liturgy, as you heard in the official prayers, calls him Saint Pius. It's Padre Pio. Pius is the Latin way for saying Pio in Italian. He was an Italian Capuchin Franciscan who was known for his holiness, prayerfulness, humility, long confession lines, and the stigmata. He had my name, Francesco. He was discovered to have tuberculosis at a young age after being ordained. He was assigned to the friary of St. Giovanni Rotondo. He was there in Italy. And one day, this was in 1918, as he was making his prayers of thanksgiving after the Mass, he had a vision of Jesus. And after the vision, he had what we call the stigmata. In other words, on his hands, on his feet, and on his side, Padre Pio, in his own body, had marks of wounds, just like Jesus had from being nailed to the cross in his hands and his feet and pierced with a lance in his side. Now, this is a special sign, a special gift that has been given to various saints over the centuries, and is meant to be a reminder to us all of how much the Lord suffered for us, a reminder to us of how much he loves us and hates our sins. People, of course, were amazed at this and tried to come to see him. And, you know, church authorities usually don't know how to deal with these things, and they make stupid blunders. And so they actually prohibited Padre Pio from celebrating Mass publicly or hearing confessions for a time. I'd love to talk to the people who made those decisions. But when he was restored in that permission, he would be hearing confessions like 10 hours a day. People flocked to him. I know somebody who went to Padre Pio for confession, too. She said it was quite an experience. Sometimes Padre Pio would tell them details about their lives that they hadn't told him. This gift of supernatural knowledge. But friends, understand something. It wasn't the stigmata that made Padre Pio holy. It never is. It never is these special, special spiritual signs and gifts that the Lord does give at different times. It's never those things that make a person holy. The miracles they do, the visions they have. That's not the stuff that makes them holy. What makes the saints holy is the same thing that makes you and me holy. Our obedience to the will of God, our union with God in virtue, our humility, our prayerfulness, our sincere and earnest repentance every day. Confessions for 10 hours, what is that like? Well, I know what it's like to go for 4 hours. We had long confession lines in the parish when I did parish work before doing Priest for Life. And I'll tell you what, the experience for the priest, what you're doing during all that time is worshiping. The sacrament is a moment of worship. The penitent is coming, confessing his or her sins, repenting of those sins, and therefore and thereby expressing confidence in the God who conquers sin and worshiping him. What does the priest do as he hears those confessions, as he hears those sins, as he sees that repentance? He's repenting too of his own sins. He's rejoicing too in the mercy of that God who saves us. And he's worshiping too. So these hours upon hours of confession are hours of worship, praise, adoration, rejoicing, repentance for the priest as for the penitent, even though they have different roles at that moment. The penitent asking forgiveness for his or her sins, the priest bestowing it in the very person of Christ. Prayer and charity. John Paul II said that was the most concrete synthesis of Padre Pio's teaching. Let us rejoice in this saint, as so many do, who have such a strong devotion to him. May he lead us to repentance. May he lead us to embrace a culture of life. May he pray for us. May he make us simple, humble followers of the one by whose wounds we are healed. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.